everyone. Welcome to Tales from the Secret Dragon, Between the Tales, Arc 1, Episode 6.5, question mark? I'm your Dungeon Master, Gustavo Cirola. I'm joined by our cast of characters, as usual, and they are...
Barbara Dunkelman, the voice of Elga von Brath, a half-elf vampire barbarian.
Blaine Gibson, the voice of Chip Haney, a tiefling rogue who has now entered level 2, question mark?
Hey, spoilers.
So, no.
Chris Damaris, the voice of Barney. an old man cleric who's a human.
My name is John Rice here, and I voice Matty Confucius, who is a ghost Eric Cochran monk.
Someone made a joke that we need to have Eric Bedore voice Eric Cochran and
that's
call him
good.
Eric Cochran. It's good.
In addition to our usual cast of characters, since this is a Between the Tales episode, we also have joining remotely via audio phone, our Dungeon Master behind the Dungeon Master, writer, composer. You introduce yourself. What am I introducing you for?
Hi, I'm Micah. I write the modules, I edit the podcast, and I add music sometimes.
More accolades.
Gus, what's all an audio phone?
I was trying to think of an old word for like a telephone.
I have to dial in, John.
I just don't even. That's a telephone, Micah. That's a telephone.
I was trying to think, what would Mr. Burns call a telephone? I was trying to think, like, what's an old word for a phone?
Yeah.
Sound wave phone.
Yeah. So this episode's going to be a little different. We're kind of between a couple of arcs, or between, you know, we just kind of wrapped up arc one of our grotesque story. Just as a quick reminder of where we stand, previously you all found yourselves once again running from the coughs, but this time chasing after a new suspect, Eddie, a large skinless humanoid made of bulging white muscles and covered in green veins. You chased after Eddie onto a steam engine traveling to Musketon. After a fearless jump onto the caboose, you had a brief run-in with a brawny, blue-vested orc with ferocious eyebrows who turned out to be a train conductor inquiring for tickets.
Ben's also here.
he's muted, so I wasn't sure if he was going to talk or not. Are you going to talk, Ben?
I don't think Ben is mic'd for talking, but okay. Ben Ernst, producer of the show, is here.
He's in your hearts, audience listener. He's there in spirit.
I say, hey, Blaine, thanks for jumping in and trying to do my job. I really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime you want, I'm there, man.
He's the DM right. Behind the DM behind the DM.
Yeah.
Blaine's going to DM from now on.
Woo. Here we go.
Take it away.
I have a headcanon now because you said this guy we were chasing has bulging white muscles. And I'm like, is it Blaine? Are we chasing Blaine?
Let's see. Bulging muscles, skinless, green veins.
Blaine Gibson.
Oh, it's like looking into a mirror.
For those of you who have never seen us in person, that's a perfect description of Blaine.
Green muscles, green veins.
So do you guys have train tickets? I don't remember.
No.
No.
Of course we do, guys.
I mean, meta, no. In character, of course.
Maybe we do.
We had tickets to that thing. Or no. Those were letters of invitations to
You got secret pockets, Barbara?
Well, maybe someone slipped us tickets without us realizing.
Okay, Barbara, roll for checking for tickets. I don't know. Maybe you could roll and do it.
As often happens when you're in a big city, pickpockets putting train tickets in your pocket.
Hey, you know, well, you know, we encountered, you know, the alchemists and people who want to help us, apparently. So who knows? Maybe they're like lacing us with things that help
Those aren't pickpockets. They're gift pocketers.
Oh, that's a fun thing.
Anything could happen in the land of grotesque. So.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so sorry, John and Barbara. I think I'm going to adapt that into Chip's whole thing. Like, and see, he's a tiefling rogue, but I want him to, like, drop things into, not steal all the time, just sometimes give.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like the Robin Hood of the tieflings.
Yeah.
Like a chapstick you might need.
The anti-Robin Hood.
Small.
Back in the world of Groteth, the brawny blue-vested orc still has his hand out, asking for tickets.
Can I go in for a handshake as Chip and say, hey, how are you doing there? Oh, what a lovely train you got here on your hands. Tickets. Yes, tickets.
He very unenthusiastically accepts your handshake and says, 5 copper for steerage, 5 silver for standard, 5 gold for first class.
Ooh. Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, it's too bad that neither Chip or I have any money.
I'd like to check for insight on that. I'd like to check for insight on that.
You can have some of mine.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, Barney can do that. This is what Mateed would do.
Guys, calm down back there, all right? tickets are on me. I got my butt whipped by that big fella, and you guys came to the rescue. I'm so proud of this team. Tickets are on the house, huh? And then I give over 20 silver.
Ooh. Yeah. Middle.
The orc pulls out four little slips of paper, quickly punches them with a whole punch, and then hands little stubs over to each of you. After you purchase these last-minute tickets, the furrow-browed orc introduces himself as Dish, invites you all to take your seats and enjoy the ride. You, of course, immediately search the train for Eddie, but found no signs of him or his hooded hoodlums. Perhaps more clues will reveal themselves upon your arrival. In the meantime, the alchemist has advised you to keep a low profile, as you all are still wanted fugitives. The trip to Mosketin should take about a day's journey.
Oh.
Could Elga turn to Mateed and go, "See, I told you we had tickets."
Yes, we definitely do.
You just got to believe.
Sometimes you need to manifest things into your life.
Yeah, we could all use a little bit of that sometimes.
Matita pats Elga on the head.
Does anyone else need to go to the bathroom?
Didn't you go like 30 seconds ago, Barney?
No.
Do you need to check your prostate?
No.
What's the role
for
that?
I'll do that for you if you want. I can help.
Sleight of hands check.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Barney's so old, it's all prostate at this point.
Oh.
He's just one big prostate. Oh, Jesus.
So let me describe the train real quick. The train is actually surprisingly large with many train cars. You know, there's various types attached to the locomotive, catering to a variety of Grotethian travelers. There's the usual stuff, dining cars, sleeper cars, but there's a whole slew of other cars if you all want to explore, and every car has a pull cord if you want to request the presence of Disf for assistance.
Disf is the name of the orc, yeah?
Disf.
Yeah, Disf. I heard an F at the end.
Disf, how do you spell that?
Obviously, just like it sounds, D-Y-S-P-H.
D-Y-S-P-H.
Is the username like Dysfunction or something?
He's got a little name tag on that you all can see that reads Dysphoric.
Oh, no. I knew it.
Are you by any chance related to an oof?
Oof, what a ridiculous name.
Sorry,
that's a different universe, is it not?
We haven't established that yet.
So what are y'all going to do to pass the time?
So after that last fight with Eddie, Chip was deeply, deeply humbled. Because as I said, Chip had a past as an assassin. He was very good at his job, but he left that life behind for Carol. And, you know, he kept fit and in shape and all that stuff, but he definitely, like, lost all his skills. So Chip trains best under danger and pressure. So he wants to climb to the roof of one of the train cars and like meditate. And like when bridges are coming, he wants to like, disengage and drop to the ground and like hide and do a bunch of weird like training stuff. Dodging tree branches.
What a calm meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want a whole montage to go on above everyone's heads.
So you want to make like 1,000 dexterity checks over the next 24 hours?
Yeah. Here, I'll salt roll on this really quick.
How do you disengage for a bridge?
You lock into the bridge, you pull out your arm blade, and then you like, "Who's disengage?" And then you go down.
I guess to answer your question, Chris, part of it is yelling the word disengage.
That's another thing we're learning about Chip.
It's like pocket sand. You have to say it as you do it.
Disengage.
Let's see a dexterity check. Let's see how it goes.
11.
Obviously, you're just starting your training. This is why you're up here. Not super smooth at first. You learned a lot as the first bridge clips your shoulder and leaves a little bit of a bruise.
Ooh, ouch. Okay. Well, here comes something else. You want to do another dexterity throw? I can.
Sure, why not?
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling like I'm learning lessons here. That's another 11. That's an exact same roll.
Maybe the lessons they're going to take a little while. Luckily, you know, it is a days long train ride to get to your destination. Maybe you'll be one big bruise by the time you get there. But you feel like, hey, on the bright side, at least you're not getting any worse.
That's right. I'm getting better.
Nope. At least you're not a prostate.
And the follow up is a 16. Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, I rolled a 16 and we're getting better.
We're seeing Chip slowly make improvements, bridge by bridge, tree branch by tree branch, water tower by water tower.
Pigeon in his face by pigeon in his face.
Chip's going to come back into the car to meet the gang, and then he's just going to be covered in bruises, dirt, pigeon feathers, bird poop.
Yeah.
Tree branches and twigs hanging off of his horns and hair.
Soot from the smoke because we're on a non-electric train, yeah. So there's just smoke in your face the entire time. Just the greatest place for meditation.
Yeah.
And it shows that you could focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you are, in your meditation, you see one of the train hatches open up and an angry-looking conductor pops his head out and begins scanning around for the source of all the ruckus he can hear from the roof.
The screams, the constant squeals.
Make a stealth check to see if you can hide.
Oh, hide. Here we go. Hide. 14.
It's sad watching the elderly fail.
I'm not that old. I'm like mid-30s.
I thought you were an old dude, like a dad dude.
No, Chip's late 30s, early 40s. I don't know, somewhere in there, thereabouts.
You're able to quickly, lie prone and hide behind a nearby hatch for a different car. Disp scans the roof, sees nothing, and goes back in.
It's working.
From a metagame perspective, Chip now has cunning action. Do you want to tell us about that?
Okay, cunning action. Starting at a second level, your quick thinking and agility allow you to move and act quickly. You can take a bonus action on each of your turns in combat. This action can be used only to take the dash, disengage, or hide action.
So dash essentially allows you to move extra fast or extra far.
Okay, so my walking speed is 30, so what does dash as a bonus action do?
I believe dash as a bonus action gives you another 30.
Oh my God, that's cool.
Disengage allows you to disengage from combat so you can move out of a threatened space without provoking an attack of opportunity.
Okay.
And then hide just allows you to try to hide, to evade detection from your enemies.
So then that's going to also play into sneak attack, probably.
Correct.
Okay.
So if you're able to hide and they're unaware of you, you can potentially get some sneak die damage.
All right. Cool. Well, that's it for Chip. Chip's feeling better. He's getting back to it.
All right.
Also rolled a little bit more HP.
Oh, right. Duh. You get an additional D8 for your hit points. What did you roll?
An 8.
No, he didn't.
I rolled an 8.
Why'd you make that face while you said
because
it?
Because it was my second try, but I did get an 8 on my second try.
What do you mean your second try?
The first one was like the auto Google roll. It just like I say, roll a D8, and then it did the automatic thing. And it's like, well, I didn't get to click the D8 button, so I'm going to roll my own.
What was the first one?
That's not where the face came from.
I can't even remember. Don't worry about it. I think that was an 8 too. And I was like, that's not fair to the team. I need to roll this D8 on my own. And then another 8 happens.
Why did you do it through Google and not in D&D Beyond?
Because...
yeah, there's all the dice in the app itself.
Well...
and then we could verify it.
You're right. Dang. Shoot.
Feels like you might have to roll again for us to verify.
No, it's already locked in and I can't. I'd have to call D&D Beyond and customer support. It's Tari Barbara's turn. Go on, Barbara.
I feel like Chip would actually really enjoy talking to customer support. Like, I feel like he would just call up a customer help hotline just to have a chat.
He just gets bored on Sundays and calls him up.
Oh, yeah. I just want to see how you were. Is Lucy there? I talked to her last week.
No, my Bowflex isn't broken. It's doing great. Thank you for asking.
I feel like that's a very Barney thing.
Yeah, Barney would love to. He would talk with anyone.
That's true. I love that. All right. So is there a cart that maybe has a library?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, from where you are. So you came in on the caboose, then right behind it, or right in front of it, I should say, was the steerage car. About 2 or 3 cars up from there, there is a mobile library car transporting books.
So, Barbara, you know when you were in grade school and they had the Scholastic Book Fair? It's that.
Yeah.
In a car, basically.
Perfect, because Elga's looking for some I Spy books and maybe Where's Waldo, because her investigation has been not very good. And turns out that she's using these books and isn't finding anything either. So investigation does not improve.
I adore the idea of using a Where's Waldo book to improve your skills. Yeah. That is great.
Or I guess what would it be in this land? Where's Werewolf?
Yeah. Where's Werewolf? No. Let's follow the stripes. Where's Mummy?
I also, is there a area of this train that's maybe a little bit more private where there wouldn't be a lot of people walking around.
There are some empty cargo cars that don't really have much in them. Those are the cars you actually passed between steerage and the library.
I think Elga also spent some time practicing her bat to no avail. Just in there by herself going, bat,
bat,
bat.
I think that just feels like something you just go into like the restroom and you're just in there, bat, and then someone comes to the door. It's like, is someone in there? They just hear the faint sounds of a little girl whispering bat.
Bat. Roll me a perception check.
You got it. See, those battles, where's werewolf books didn't help at all.
Good roll. The one. A four with your
Yeah.
Modifier.
I think I just say one when it's
but
like
you rolled
a
one, yes.
Crit fail.
Yeah, you're in the cargo car. You think by yourself trying to conjure the bat spirit when you don't notice there is an actual bat in the car that begins flying around and hits you squarely in the face.
No. Oh.
You swipe at it and manage to get it to move on its way. And that's when you realize that at the door on the other side of the car, Disf has been watching you the whole time. And he looks like he has secondhand embarrassment from watching you yell bat and jump into the air.
Oh, it's because I saw the bat in here and I was trying to catch it for you so it wouldn't be on this train anymore, because if it bites someone, oh, there's rabies shots are very not fun to get. Yeah.
Do you don't feel like enraged that you've been caught in such a private moment?
I'm pretty mad. Does he start interacting with me at all?
You see, he's trying to suppress laughter.
Okay, you know what? It's not very nice to walk in on someone during a private moment, okay? You get out of here. It's not nice to look at people without their consent.
Now kill Elga.
He silently, but you know, obviously still stifling laughter, walks backwards and closes the door and disappears into the next cart.
This makes Elga very, very angry.
From a metagame perspective, Elga does gain a couple of new abilities here. Elga gains Reckless Attack and Danger Sense. Do you have those in front of you? Do you want to go over those, Barbara?
Yeah, I do. All right, Reckless Attack, when you make your first attack on your turn, you can decide to attack recklessly, giving you advantage on melee weapon attack rolls using strength during this turn, but attack rolls against you have advantage until your next turn.
Mm.
Is it only if people use strength against me they have advantage?
It's like any melee weapon attack usually adds like a strength bonus. It's like a behind the scenes thing as opposed to like a melee weapon that might use dexterity, like a finesse weapon, for example.
And they have advantage on me because I'm reckless and like not
Correct.
Really paying attention. Okay.
Correct. So it gives you advantage, but also opens you up. Like you're just attacking without any care about like defending and parrying as well.
And for that, could I just use it at any point? Like I could just choose to recklessly attack?
Right. You call it. Like when you're going to make your attack roll, you say, I want to attack recklessly, or I want this to be a reckless attack.
You okay. have to do it before you attack.
Correct. And it's the first attack on your turn.
Got it.
I caught Chris reminiscing about his gum days, just looking back like,
yeah,
those were good times.
For those who don't know, Chris played a barbarian our last campaign. So I'm like, help me, teach me. And then Danger Sense is you have advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects that you could see while not blinded, deafened, or incapacitated.
Yeah, so that's just basically you get advantage on dexterity saving throws against anything that you can see coming, like a trap, like a fireball spell. You know, you could see the fire coming.
But if it's like the ground, you know, goes out beneath us, I don't see that coming, I imagine.
If you're not blind or deafened, and it's a dexterity save, then you get advantage.
Basically, yeah, it's okay. It's pretty wide. And then as well, you get a d12 for additional hit points.
And I rolled a 12 on that d12.
Just
first
man.
Try, not
Look
lying.
Look at us go, hey, Elga. Look, we're feeling stronger every day.
What are the chances that both of us rolled so well on our
Very
first try?
Very high, actually. And I won't question you if you don't question me.
It's just like when I went treasure hunting.
I just want to make sure I did it right, because I just added 12 to my rolled HP. Before it was a 15, I added 12 and somehow it's now 30.
Let's see. It also adds your constitution modifier. Your constitution modifier is +3. So every level on top of your hit die, you're also going to get a +3. So if you rolled a 12, then you also get +3 from your constitution bonus. So you get a +15 total.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm at 30 HP now.
Strong.
Wow.
Strong like bull.
Good. Our barbarian's got HP now.
So that's kind of why like you have abilities like Reckless Attack and Rage, which diminishes the amount of like melee damage you take. Like it's
which
kind of
I will use.
Tanky.
moving forward, and I won't forget to use rage.
We're all learning lessons. It's fine. We're all new classes.
We almost died last time, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Elga, a bat's flying right at your face. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, but I have advantage.
You have advantage. Cause
well, it's pretty good. 17 and a nat 20 for 21.
21. It's like something out of the Matrix. The bat is flying right at you and you like dodge backwards and very deftly sidle out of the way and the bat flies past you.
Elga goes to look to see if Disf is at the door.
The door's closed, but he's behind the window. He's still there watching, and he pulls up his hands and begins very lightly applauding.
That's right. And if you're not careful, I'll do the same to you.
And then she pulls an Ozzy Osbourne and bites the head off the bat.
I mean, I don't need the blood. If we're here a whole day, could I actually take some of the bat's blood?
Oh, that could be family.
Oh, it has to be humanoid.
Oh, it does. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
Maybe I'll save you later for a snack. I'll put you next to Mateed's roll that I kept from their bakery.
Oh, right. Yum, yum, human food. Barney or Mateed, anything you want to investigate on the train?
Yeah, Barney go, and he's just walking along the carts. Oh, this is nice. And then he stops. I guess he goes up to the gold class.
First class?
Yeah, I think he stopped to see anyone to talk to.
The first class cabin, when you walk through, it has private rooms with doors. So it's not an open car like the rest of them. There is a hallway for you to walk through the car, but each of the actual cabins where the people stay have doors that are currently closed.
Could Barney go up to one of them and knock?
Sure. Barney approaches one of the doors and gives it a knock. From the other side, you hear a very raspy, "Who is it?"
"Hi, it's Barney."
Oh, of course.
The door creaks open, and before you is a male humanoid, looks at you quizzically and says, "Barney who?"
"Oh, I'm Barney Farney. Nice to meet you. Hi. I was wondering if you might do me a kindness. I'm looking, in search of a few things here. First of all, I'm in search of...
I'm on a scavenger hunt.
I'm on a great quest, so I'm very busy, but I'm also looking for the bathroom."
"The greatest quest."
"A great quest. Wow, this is a really nice room you have here. Wow."
The raspy voice person says, "I assume it's just like your room? Are you here in first class as well?"
"Oh, I am right now. Yes, I am."
"Okay, what are you looking for?"
"Well, I'm trying to find my quest. I'm on a great quest, but I'm also looking for the bathroom. Have you seen that?"
"The bathroom? There should be one in your cabin."
"Oh, I didn't see that. Do you have one in your cabin?"
"Well, yes, of course."
"Do you mind if I use it?"
"Okay. Sure, why not?" The door opens up.
"Oh, this is such a nice little cabin here. Okay."
Inside the cabin, there's a well-appointed bed, a small table seemingly for taking meals, and another closed door. And the occupant points at the door and says, "The bathroom is behind that door."
"Okay, here I go. Bye-bye."
Barney shuffles to the bathroom and goes in.
Okay.
Just destroys it.
No, he's using the bathroom. He's like,
"So, tell me about yourself, young man."
"Oh, God.
It's okay, old man. You can do your business. We don't have to talk while you're on the toilet."
No, I don't mind at all."
"I think I hear someone calling me. And not you."
"You never want to leave someone, you know, if they're calling you, it's probably for a good reason. That's what I always say."
You hear the sound of very hurried footsteps running away, seemingly in a panic, in the opposite direction to get as far away from you as quickly as possible.
"It reminds me of this one time. I was out, and I had a message. I got home, and there was a message, a note, and it said, 'Don't eat the bread. It's got some mold.' And so I took the note, and I put it by the bread, but you know what my problem? I didn't throw out the bread. And then the next day, I got up, and I was like, 'I would love some bread.' And I go and I eat the bread, and I think the bread is awfully flavorful. What sort of spread did I put on it? Oh, it's got some sort of fuzzy spread on it. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I've eaten mold."
Can Chip in and say, "Hey, Barney, that guy left about a half hour ago. You've been talking to nothing this whole time."
"Oh, hey there. did I ever tell you about the time that that I ate mold?
Chip uses disengage.
Yeah.
Should I go over my level up abilities? Should I continue?
I think the tale of the bread, as compelling as it is, we can maybe put a cork in it. Barney gets Channel Divinity, Turn Undead, Twilight Sanctuary at a first level spell slot. You want to kind of go over that, Chris?
Yeah. So Turn Undead, which all clerics get at level 2, as an action, I can present my holy symbol and do a prayer censuring the undead. Each undead that I can see or hear within 30 feet must make a wisdom saving throw. If it fails, it is turned for 1 minute or until it takes any damage. A turned creature must spend its turn trying to move as far away from you as possible, and it can't willingly move to a space within 30 feet of you. It also can't take reactions. For its action, it can only use the dash action or try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving. If there's nowhere to move, the creature can use the dodge action. And I can do that once every short rest. And yeah, so that, I think that'll be really cool, especially because I don't think Barney realizes that half the party is undead.
Oh, wow. They are, aren't they?
Is Elga considered undead?
I believe so, yes.
Are ghosts undead? Because that's pretty dead.
Just plain dead.
Like, is it undead or dead?
I mean, my interpretation of undead is you're still sentient beyond death.
Yeah.
Never thought of a ghost as undead.
Yeah. I would imagine a ghost is undead.
That's what I'm saying. I've never thought of a ghost as undead. I've always thought of other monsters as undead. But it's an interesting argument.
I mean, it'd be easier for me if you're not.
Oh yeah, I'm not arguing one way or the other. I was just, what is a ghost? Because a ghost is literally like the soul of a dead person.
Semantics.
Yeah, and it does say each undead that can see or hear you must make a wisdom saving throw.
Within 30 feet.
Yeah.
I guess I need to always stay 30 feet away from Barney at all times.
Also got the Twilight Sanctuary channel divinity is really cool. As an action, I present holy symbol, 30-foot radius. It's filled with dim light. It's centered around me, and it moves with me, and it lasts for 1 minute or until I'm incapacitated or die. Whenever a creature, including you, ends its turn in the sphere, you grant that creature one of these benefits. I grant it 1d6 plus 2 temporary hit points.
So it's 1d6 plus your cleric level, so it will scale.
Yeah. Or I end one of the effects, either charmed or frightened, so that's really good. I also get spell slot, which I got some, you know. It's cool.
Nice.
So I have 3 now. I can cast 3 spells.
Just for clarification, Ben looked it up. Ghosts and vampires are both listed as undead.
I looked it up too. It's correct.
I think you mean clarification.
Dang it, Barbara. I was going to do that. Shoot.
Clerical error.
You also get an additional D8 of hit die. Let me guess. You rolled an 8?
No, I didn't. Oh. It's either 6 or 7.
Okay. Oh, that's still really good.
Nice.
Could Barney try to get out and realize it?
Oh my goodness. Someone's locked me in.
I guess by this point, Chip has walked away and the occupant of the car has walked away. So you're all alone in there, Barney.
Oh no. It's just like that one time I got lost in the cave.
Do you have a medic alert bracelet or a medic alert little button thing you can hit?
Life alert?
No, but I think, oh my goodness. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. There's an emergency has gone on.
Does anyone else hear anything? Do you think there's some rattling around and some voice?
Train turbulence!
I want to know what Chris's new abilities he's using to get out of this door.
I create water with some of my new spells.
Ooh, wait, I thought you just did that.
Yeah, I know. I do 10 gallons of clean water I create in the bathroom.
Ooh.
And it fills the room so much that it bursts open.
He's pulling a Paddington.
And so some of it floods out into the hall. Some of it also goes down the toilet.
I don't think you know how a toilet works, Chris.
What?
No, that's how it works. You fill up the bowl with enough water and it flushes. That's how it works. Yeah.
Okay. I assume this is more like a drop it and go kind of toilet because it's a train.
Just a hole in the bottom of the train.
Just a honey wagon probably, situation. Yeah.
So then, it bursts and it gushes out into the hallway. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I look around and say, like, oh my, that's a nice looking bed. And then Barney goes and lays down.
In the drenched bed.
In the wet bed.
Well, I assumed like it kind of went through a funnel. So like the bottom of the bed got wet, but the top was relatively not that wet.
Gross.
Okay.
This old man is destroyed.
And then Barney goes and takes a nap. And this nap is so invigorating and restful that he also gets his old man naps. Yeah. You know? And that also helps get his new abilities.
Like head back on a chair, Mouth completely
like
open.
Listeners, Barbara looks like living dead. She's just like,
yeah, the lazy boy nap.
Is Barney able to like nap wherever he wants to? Like, is that one of his skills?
Powers down.
He's a good sleeper.
Yeah, he just and just rest. And then I assume he's there until the whoever that person whose room it is returns.
I don't think that they would want to disturb you. I think they're
they've asked for a change of rooms.
They would probably call a conductor over to help roll you and get you to move along.
So, Mateed, where are you at? I'm imagining you going to the kitchen, perhaps?
Well, Mateed was hoping to find some room to stretch a bit and find some space, but I'm struggling to think of like where in a train that might be that isn't joining Chip on the roof.
Come on up!
There is a recreation car.
Okay, I'd like to go to the recreation car.
Yeah, you're not quite sure what to expect when you see the signs directing you to a recreation car, but you walk in and there's a very smooth wood floor with various markings on it, you think, for different sports. And a variety of different sporting equipment, balls and gloves and whatnot on racks off to the side if you wanted to participate in any of those. Or if not, it's just a big open space. There's also some various mats and weights and whatnot.
By any chance, is one of the walls a giant mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mateed would go in there, lock the doors for privacy. Big fan of their privacy.
You don't want any spying discs?
No. And Mateed would spend a lot of time in there working on their flow routines. Mateed is very ballet-like in their movements, and they constantly are trying to work at staying limber and working on their agility and stability and all that kind of stuff. Maybe humming some tunes while they're doing it. Just kind of a very peaceful, tranquil workout.
Could we get some of that humming tunes? Like what that would sound like?
Nice.
Mike is asking if you're practicing Arakoka Karate. Arakoka Karate.
Yeah. It's less of like martial arts and more like dance, but there is definitely some like the flow of like some of the more grappling martial arts, it kind of incorporated into the dance. But yeah, Mateed is a big fan of their alone time for improving themselves. That's how they kind of have learned a lot of their monk abilities, is self-taught. And so this would kind of be them trying to recreate that kind of environment that they prefer.
Make me a perception check.
It's only an 8.
You're not sure how it happened, but like almost side by side with you is a ghostly figure of another Arakokra moving through the same motions you're doing with extremely fluid grace. You rub your eyes and you don't think the figure is actually there, but it's doing the flow in perfect form. You study them for a moment and go through the flow in harmony with them.
Could Mateed turn and do a bow to them?
Sure. Mateed turns and does a bow. And when Mateed raises their head back up, the figure has disappeared.
Oh, that was unexpected.
Boogie.
Bird Patrick Swayze?
Yeah. That's not what I, Mateed expected in the recreational car of a train. And Mateed checks to see the doors are still locked?
Yes, the doors are still locked.
Okay. Mati would also take this time to spend some time with Jacques. And after working out in the recreation room, would definitely go to the food car and look for some num-nums for Jacques.
Okay, yeah. You have the option. You can either go to the dining car or the galley car. I guess the dining car might make more sense if you're just looking to get some food, or if you want to like try to pilfer some stuff, maybe you can get something out of the galley.
No, I want to go to the dining car. I want to sit down and I'm going to put Jacques on the other side of the table with a little seat.
Yeah, there's a very well-appointed menu, and it's actually very busy considering the time of night. Various tables and people coming and going, carrying food. Oh, someone drops a plate of food on you. Do you have an ability, a new ability you can use?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mateed, having spent time in the recreational car, has gained the power of using their key, which is kind of a energy that all monks have access to, and you can your energy count goes up as you level up as a monk. So currently I have 2 uses of ki to do a number of effects, one of which is patient defense, which is you can spend a ki point to take the dodge action as a bonus action on your turn. So I dodge the food and try to pull a Spider-Man and get it all landing on my hand in perfect alignment.
Cool.
Make a dexterity check just to see. Like the dodge, of course, obviously you're able to do. The dexterity check to see if you're able to catch all the food.
12.
You catch almost all of the food. Unfortunately, a piece of fish falls off the plate and lands on the floor. The customer who drops the plate says, Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for saving what you did. And takes the plate of food minus the piece of fish, which has fallen to the floor.
Mateed kind of replies, d'accord, and picks up the fish and lays it out for Jacques to have a little nibble.
Oh, yeah. Jacques goes to town eating the fish.
Mateed would also, while Mateed doesn't have to eat or drink, would order some sort of espresso. Still enjoying the feel of a warm espresso cup in their winged hands.
Mm. Yeah, there's plenty of coffee to be had, and you're able to order and hold a cup of espresso to warm your feathered hands.
Yeah.
Well, I think from all the action that you are doing, a little bit of dirt got in your hands and maybe... No,
not this character. Just a nice espresso.
It's a nice steaming cup of fleshpresso.
Yeah, fleshpresso. Ooh. Yeah.
Gross.
No, it's grotesque.
Growth. Oh,
growth.
So what Mateed was able to do is get the key points, and along with that comes the other two abilities that you can use their key on, which is Fury of Blows, which basically gives me a bonus action of 2 unarmed strikes. Currently, I can do a bonus action of 1 unarmed strike. So right now, I could do in potentially 3 unarmed strikes in a row for 1 turn in attack. Or... Wow. I have Step of the Wind, where I can take the disengage or dash action as a bonus action. You're not the only one who can dash right now, Chip.
And disengage.
I can do it too. But it also comes with your jump distance is doubled, which is kind of a moot point as I can fly. But I also got an upgrade to my walking speed. That's just a part of being monk. And so now my walking speed is 35 feet.
Chip is not a sad guy, but he is pretty upset that everyone has way cooler upgrades this round. This is what is like John just got everything and more that I just got. What the heck?
Well, I have to I'll paint this picture though. It's monk that those kind of things are flashy right now at a lower level, but at a higher level, you know, I'm going to hopefully do things that don't involve just an unarmed strike. And so it's like, you know, you're going to get things that are going to plus you up in certain ways later down the line.
I sure hope so.
Like, after how the combat went last time, don't you want your team to get beefy still?
Yeah, you're right.
Don't downplay the hide. That's also going to really help you with stealth attacks.
Right, okay. And you're supposed to be the stealthy one as the rogue, right?
You're right.
Mateed also gets an additional D8 hit points.
Oh, yeah. I only rolled a 3, so I'm at 14.
There you go.
Why wouldn't you lie? I mean, theoretically, I'm not saying anybody else here did, you know, but moving on. That's what else is in this train.
Wow. Mateed doesn't fear death. They've already done it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
In fact, they are undead. So the train chugs along through the night to its destination and to the next arc of Tales from the Stinky Dragon. Salutations, my stinky supporters. Did you know Stinky Dragon has a soundtrack you can listen to? Don't miss out. It's great. And our newest album just dropped the other day, so go check it out wherever you listen to music.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
We do have some audience questions that I'd like to get through.
Woohoo!
Thank you to, I think David collated all of these. Thank you, David, if you are indeed the one who did that. They got a lot of them from Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And I've got them all in front of me here. The first question on the list is from Instagram. It's from a very familiar name. It's from at John Reisinger. Who asks, why won't Chris refer to any single character in the game by the correct name ever?
Well, is this during our mini campaign where he couldn't say Euthygenia?
No, I'm talking about this campaign as well. I've been noting that this boy right here never calls anything the correct title.
Oh, I'm sorry, John, for being in character and role playing.
This is out of character as well. This is out of character.
Chris,
this is meta
Chris. You have 5 seconds to name the other three characters in this party. Go. One.
Chip.
Two. Three.
Little girl.
Four.
Bird.
Five. Okay. All right.
I think last episode you may have called Chip Barney once. I don't know if I'm remembering that.
Now, there's no way I'm going to remember John's character's name.
Mateed?
Yes.
What about Elga?
Elga, yeah.
It's literally such a simple name. I remember your names.
I'm just committed to the character.
Sure.
I just chose a character that's forgetful.
Can't wait for your third campaign character who's also forgetful and dumb.
Yeah. A very convenient.
But now, Barney's not dumb.
Could have fooled us.
didn't you just describe that he got locked in the bathroom that he went in?
Yeah. That's just
an exit via flooding the entire room.
Well, that Chris, he got out.
Barney's intelligence is 10.
Yeah, it's not dumb.
Plus what?
It's just 10. That's normal. That's like a normal person.
You know, intelligence of 10 is not that bad. Let's not make fun.
Gum-Gum's intelligence
nine.
was what, like 4?
Gum-Gum was so, I don't know if we covered this in the previous campaign. Gum-Gum's intelligence was so low. There was one spell that we used against the party that had no effect on Gum-Gum because his intelligence was too low to be affected by the spell.
It's rock so bottom. Funny.
And there was one time there was a thing that like lowered, there's an item that could lower your intelligence and it would have made Gum-Gum go into a coma.
Speaking of the previous campaign, the next question is from Halcyon Ben, also on Instagram, who asks, if you could choose any NPC from either this or the previous campaign to be your new character, who would it be?
An NPC from the previous?
Oh, to be like the character we play?
To play as.
Either from the previous campaign or this campaign, is there an NPC that stood out in your mind or you thought like, man, that would be a really fun character to play or I wish we could do more with that, you know?
I have a funny answer for Blaine.
You're going to say Sleek.
No. I was going to say you would play your kissy wife, so then you still could be connected to Kyborg despite not playing Kyborg.
Lynn Murr.
Lynn Murr, yeah. Oh, I miss her, so I hope she's okay.
We did get another kissing action in the last one with them. I would want to play Brink Tussler just because I would like to talk like this, the great Brink Tussler. But I would still have Eric do the voice though. So like he would dub all of my lines.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I like that. I like the idea of you playing an entire campaign and Eric has to voice the entire campaign. Yeah.
There was like a fancy, I don't think he was a Goliath. Maybe he was. On the ship.
Oh, yeah. He was a giant.
Yeah. And Kyborg like idolized him. I'm sure I can't play as a giant, but if we adapted that into a character, I like the idea of like a really big, like giant, but he was like in a suit and he was dapper, but he's also strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just imagine one of those like old, like bare knuckle boxers with like a dress shirt and a vest on. And he's like, yes. I think that'd be fun.
What about you, Chris?
Maybe. I don't know. The only one I could think of was Hairless Hutch.
Yeah.
Just so you could see how that story played out.
Yeah. Well, just like, I wonder what's going on in that, you know, like, and what, how do you end up in that jail? He was a lizard folk who liked hair that we met in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of very interesting characteristics to play into.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's more to him than meets the eye. The only other one I could think of was that one that bested Kyborg with the by getting Brink? The item. Well, yeah. the one that got the item that lets you teleport.
I thought you were going to say I'd like to play as Mandalorian. No. just for that one battle.
Do you know that guy who he bought the item that Blaine thought about buying and then he was like teleporting all over the place?
The turtle.
The turtle. Yeah, yeah. I also like turtles. Torthor. Yeah, I like turtles. So
I like turtles.
So Torthor maybe would be a good one.
I was going to say real fast. I think I'm glad you brought up Hairless Hutch because I think that might be my favorite puppet video that's been put out is the interaction with Hairless Hutch and just like the vacant blank blinking between Hutch and Gum-Gum. Yeah, and then the stroking
of the hair.
The stroking of hair was so good.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites.
I would say favorite NPC, though, would also be Lil Jimmy. I think that would be a fun character.
I was wondering if anybody would bring up Lil Jimmy.
That's a good call.
That's like MVP NPC.
Love that. Oh, man.
Just the thinnest, stupidest, like not thought out character.
I'm imagining it's like that teenager from The Simpsons that's like, Mr. Burns. I don't think I'm allowed to do that. It's past my curfew.
It's literally Gus up pitching his voice just a hair. Just say, like, well, Jimmy.
Sometimes you got to roll with whatever's in front of you. What about you, John?
I have two thoughts. One is I would love to play the tree ant-like creatures that we met.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be hilarious to play an entire campaign as someone who talks very slow and quietly and that kind of thing. I think that's hilarious. And I just like those kind of creatures. They're fun. I think their design is fun to me. But honestly, the more fun thing would be I'd love to have played as the villains are always more interesting to me than the heroes. So like Entropa, something like that. Mm-hmm. Be the big bad. Mm-hmm. I watched every Disney movie and just loved every villain more than any of the prince or princesses. So as the queer I am. And would love to be just, I'd love to play the villain for any campaign because I don't get to play the villain. Hugh Manor would be fun. I was thinking any of them, Quadrant, Hugh Manor, Entropa. I would love to play any of those. I would never take Paralyte away from Hannah though. So
yeah, fair.
I'll take Entropa away from Armando though.
Well, don't worry. From someone's perspective, I'm sure Mud was the villain.
Sure.
Whoa.
Wow. Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
PETA saw me as a villain because I constantly put a badger in danger.
Mm.
We have a question on Twitter here from at Toto Jaro. What goes through your mind when creating new characters? And do you inspire yourself with different characters from different campaigns? Maybe we can also narrow that down, like maybe talking about these new characters for campaign two. Like what did you draw inspiration from and what made you focus into playing this kind of character?
I like, first of all, longevity, having some character that you can like really grow into. And there's like a longer, like you might have a few bits in mind, but something that's not going to run dry after a few episodes. I ran into Judge Fred, this pun slinging bread themed paladin. And I was like, by the end of that campaign, I was like so out of jokes for Judge Bread or whatever his name was.
I think it was Judge Bread. And then he died. And then
thank God he died. Yeah.
His brother, Judge Fred.
Fred was way more fun. And then I think that there's also like weird stuff like subverting expectations. You expect like a tiefling rogue to be like evil and, you know, conniving. And then like, no, I'm going to make him a friendly guy. It's Chip Haney and he's an ex-assassin. It's just like this layered, weird character that has all these different components. I think that that's fun.
You also notably constantly put you into every character you play because Chip.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Chip is also like a personable character with the fashion stylings and amiability that you have.
That's true. And Blaine does have a thing for older centaurs.
That's yeah. In past life, he wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, Sawyer.
I have a similar, I like finding a unique take on a character that's like different than what you might normally think of for a class or a race. And I like coming up at least with some backstory that like isn't known or like Barney had, I wrote a long backstory for Barney
that we don't even know.
Yeah. And so like that gives stuff for the DM to play with and explore. And also like, I guess a character that's flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big one.
For me, I think like coming up with a new character for a new campaign, especially for the show, like is simultaneously very fun, but also very stressful because you're trying to think through someone you won't mind playing for like 50 to 100 episodes or more or whatever it ends up being. And so you're like, I want to play a character that I could like really improv with, like someone who you understand really well. And like you could visualize their backstory. You could visualize what they would do in certain situations. Because that's really hard. And that definitely comes, I think, more and more with time. Like even with our first campaign, you could see how we really develop these characters and like flesh them out as time goes. When I was thinking of this character, I knew I wanted to play a barbarian in this campaign because I usually play very like ranged characters that don't have to get up close a lot. Mm. And I'm like, I wanted to challenge myself by playing something that has to like get in on the action this time.
Yeah.
And at first I was thinking of playing a character like this named Elga. who's just a really, really big, beefy. I picture her like super big, super large with like these like little braids and stuff like that. Very typical, like what you imagine a barbarian to look like, maybe.
Mm. Kind of like a Michael Caine type.
Yeah. But then I thought it would be funny, like you said, Chris, like, and Blaine as well, the juxtaposition of something like not what you quite expect. So I'm like, what if it's a barbarian who's like a tiny little girl who just rages? And then we also had all these new aspects to play with in this campaign with like ghost and vampire and alien and like all these different things that we could choose from for this world. And I was like, well, I definitely want to lean into that. And so that's why I chose vampire, because I thought that would be like a fun addition to that character I was thinking of. So you kind of build on it as you go. You like start with one kind of concrete idea and then you build out from there.
I also like that you always play small characters. Like you're tiny.
Maybe
I genuinely enjoy that. I think that that's very funny.
Yeah. I like being like the little sister of the group. It's a fun, like a fun little feel.
That's good. I like that. For Mateed, I was a mixture of a few things. I wanted to challenge myself a little bit and play something, not only a class that I didn't understand very well, but like try to create like even a voice that's hard for me to do, which you've noticed. So I went with Monk, which has always been a class that interests me, but I've never played or looked into much before. It's also like kind of very similar to you, Barb. I wanted to go in a different direction as far as like my interaction with like abilities in combat. And so Monk is very much non-magical, you know, physical work and that kind of thing. Doesn't wear armor, all that kind of stuff.
Which I wouldn't expect, like hearing Monk, I would think it would be.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like cleric. You don't think of cleric as a big armored, you know, divine energy, magical person, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went with that. I refused to play something as mundane as a human. So I tried to find a class that was fun and interesting. One of my favorite, again, just to reference Disney, one of my favorite characters ever from Disney was Marahute from Rescuers Down Under. So I was like, I want to be a big bird. I'm going to be a big bird.
Oh, that's cool.
I like I didn't birds. Know
that was the inspiration. That's fun.
Yeah. Originally, I had even based Mateed's design on Marahute from the movie, but I changed. I wanted to go something a little bit darker.
John, I don't know if you saw on our subreddit, which like, real quick, shout out to anybody that's part of our Stinky Dragon Pod subreddit. It's a very lovely place. It's the nicest subreddit I've been on.
The subreddit and the Discord as well. Some of the best people.
It's really cool to see the community. And we've been getting incredible, incredible art. But there was this one and I really liked. And it's Mateed on a park bench feeding other birds.
Oh, yeah. I think I missed that one. I have to go find that
one. I'll send it to you over Slack. It is so cute.
That's good.
I saw some fan art too of it was Chip and Elga coming back from their dungeon exploration. And we didn't find anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's gold out of their pockets. Yeah, and yeah, it's Mateed being like,
And I'm hoping that the new YouTube channel will be really a good, great place for that kind of
Place to share the content with people who might not know D&D.
Oh, yeah. We interact. Dragon. We just started that. Also, Barbara, I'm going to drop this in the Slack. There's new Elga art. You guys are just like firing on all cylinders with the art. You have no idea what an honor that is, seeing that stuff. It is really, really cool. We appreciate it.
100%.
And I like to try to play, put parts into my characters that are parts of like my real world that I enjoy. Mud was all about, you know, animals and, you know, that kind of love of mine and playing a magic user. And so I wanted to do something different this one. And so I kind of like, I've always loved French culture. I named my eldest child after my favorite French movie. My current partner is from New Orleans and Louisiana and loves that stuff as well. And so I want to do that. And then again, I refuse to play just a straight person. So I went for a part from the Rainbow Mafia flag that felt like a fun new addition to the team.
Nice.
Love it.
I have a lot I want to follow up on here. So I'm glad you all brought up the subreddit because I want to ask some questions from the subreddit. And specifically, John, you actually answered part of a question that I was teeing up to potentially ask here from Julia Darkcrest on the Stinky Dragon subreddit.
Shout out to Julia.
Yeah. Julia had questions for everyone in general and then everyone specifically. In general, they asked, how'd you come up with the concept of your character? I feel like we touched on that one already. But for John specifically, they were asking, how much of your French is from Barbara? How much from your girlfriend's family? Also, are you planning to become a crazy cat person in the game? I guess with Jacques.
I wasn't planning on having a pet. I wasn't planning on being a cat person, but I found a cat. So I'm going to try to keep that as a pet.
don't cats hunt birds? Like, shouldn't you be
some
careful?
Do. Some do. I think that's fun. I think that's fun that a bird much bigger than the cat would not be its prey. No, my French is, honestly, I'm aiming for something that's in the realm of, like, the Merovingian from Matrix Reloaded. Uh-huh. I've always adored the kind of energy from that character. Obviously, he's a villain and a total like misogynist and that thing, so I don't adore those parts of him, but I loved the way that actor always like played that character with their voice and a little bit of their mannerism. So that's along with a few other French roles from cinema and actors that I've been trying to mimic. But no, my girlfriend does. It's like Cajun ain't French. It's a beat up version of French. yeah.
Well, I'm going to pivot that question a little bit. I have a question for Micah. Did you have any inkling that John was going to do more with that cat when you dropped that cat in the module in the sewers?
Cause I stumbled on it by going and exploring places we hadn't gone. Cause we totally could have missed it.
It was stuck in the bridge, right?
Right.
And it could have been anybody. Yeah. No, like I like doing that kind of stuff. Like we kind of talked about that behind the scenes, like dropping little things that could be something, little breadcrumbs that could lead into a whole different trail. We have ideas for it and I'm excited to see where they go.
Oh, cool.
Does that happen a lot, Micah, for you? Like where we encounter something or like really focus in on something you didn't expect us to focus in on or like bring it with us or whatever. And then you in turn like write that into the story or like make it a bigger aspect of the campaign. Does that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah. That happened a lot in the last campaign where it'd be an offhand comment. It'd be like that can go somewhere. So I always enjoy those moments. Like I try to, if I can, lean into them when I remember to.
Ben put it best when we were talking about D&D like early on. He said it's collaborative storytelling. And I think that that's something that really holds true with Stinky Dragon. Like we put in a lot and Micah like takes that, receives it and then integrates it. And I think it's a perfect balance.
And so did Gus.
Oh, and Gus.
Oh, no, I'm just a vessel.
No, but I feel like you also do a good job of pulling things and extracting where we're going to go with it. And then also the things you kind of create also provide a lot for Micah to play with.
Hmm. Yeah. I also, I'm going to try to do this more often, but I do want to give a huge shout out to Gus as a DM. Like, I think you don't get enough credit for like how easygoing you are with us, but also like still keeping the story on track and like working through the improv scenes of everything going on and like still keeping track of like the module and like all that stuff. I don't know how you do it, but I've seen like people mention it in the podcast reviews and like some comments on the subreddit and stuff like that, but definitely want to give you a shout out for that because you do a great job.
I'm very remiss to take too much of the credit. I have a lot of help from Mike and Ben. I'm always trying to give them credit as well. And they're usually constantly yelling at me in our Slack channel to get you guys to keep moving and to stop focusing on something.
that was another part of the subreddit that I even responded to today where, because people have been like, I've seen a couple comments, people asking for a different kind of character for me next time. And one person's reply to someone like suggesting that was like, yeah, I'd like to see John play a character who's less focused on progression of the plot. And I replied, I said, I'd also like to play a character that's less focused on the progression of the plot.
So, Julia Darkcrest actually had more questions. There was that one that for John specifically, but then for Chris specifically, do you think the senility of Barney is an act? Is it real or is it something more malicious that's been cast upon him?
I think it's real, but there might be more than just like him being an older man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not inherently just that he's old.
Interesting. Barbara, where do you think the hatred of your character by NPCs is coming from? Remember, Elka got a little bit of guff.
In the city, yeah. And I've been reading some like theories and stuff like that. I feel like I shouldn't be reading it because it's going to like influence my thoughts. But it's funny because someone pointed out, they're like, well, people like were excited and cheered for Dracula. So like, are they against vampires or like, is Dracula a kind of like a different guy? Because he's like the vampire. And so it's like, he's kind of a celebrity. But I don't know. I imagine it has something to do with her vampiric background. I don't know if it has anything to do with her being like a half elf or a child.
Mm. Yeah, maybe it's like a Interview with the Vampire situation where vampires aren't supposed to be children.
My interpretation of that was she appears to be like a normal, quote unquote, like humanoid.
and this is a grotesque, and it's a world where everything's topsy-turvy, where weird is normal and normal is weird. That was my read on it.
Wouldn't Barney then be getting some, like, flack? Because he's maybe a human.
Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know. And a cleric at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping we find out, but my first inkling was that it's just because she's a vampire, even though, like, I don't think it's that obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I think she thinks she's better at hiding it.
She's a vampire? Yeah, you do kind of try to keep it close.
Yeah.
Blaine, do you have any ideas of how you want this story beat about Carol to play out? Are you about to become John Wick when Gus kills your cockatrice?
I didn't even know that the cockatrice was a thing. You guys gave that to me, and I was like, okay, yes, and. I have no idea what direction it's going to head in, and I'm totally fine with that. I wanted to give Micah and Ben and Gus, like, carte blanche on whatever they wanted to do with the story element. I found the character motivation, and then I am trusting them with the story, and I think it's going to be fun no matter what happens. Like, I just thought it was a cool backstory, and it's a cool mission, and it's something that I think a lot of people can get invested in. And then as far as, like, the resolution, like, I'm not worried.
And there's one last question here. It's for me. It's asking, Gus, when are you killing Blaine's cockatrice?
No.
I want to pull maybe one or two more questions. We'll see how this goes. So we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. We have a question on Instagram from David Sanye. That's a familiar name. What is each character's comfort food? Elga, we know blood, but what type?
Well, I do like the O type because that is technically the most healthy. I think people with the type O blood tend to have the least heart disease and, you know, the health complications. And so, you know, I try to eat healthy when I can. And so, you know, I get my O type blood in a bowl mixed with some greens, maybe. And then I take out the greens.
Chips would be a nice, delicious burger and a big basket of cheese curds, fried cheese curds. Mm. Oh, boy, howdy. I like the way the cheese feels squeaky on my teeth. It's fun and delicious, and I love it so much.
For Barney, well, I like raisins. It's a raisin.
Favorite food is raisins.
You know, it's just like you're just because they're grapes that are old doesn't mean they're not good grapes.
Oh, wow. That's poetic. That's lovely.
It's really nice.
Mateet doesn't eat. But if Mateet could, Mateet definitely is a big fan of some fresh steak tartare.
Does Mateet not eat because they're a ghost?
Yeah.
Because they don't need food?
Don't need it. Don't need to sleep. Don't need
how ironic
to
that they're a baker.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. That's all. That was awesome. I like the idea that they still like to do what they did in their past life, and that it's ironic that that's feed the living, which is why Mateet has a bakery in Atro City instead of in different parts because they wanted to make sure they were in a place where people ate.
Mm. Go where the market is.
Go where the market is. But yeah, I think steak tartare. It's a great French cuisine, and it's also like. I feel like that's good ghost food because it's just raw meat with a raw egg. I think that's fun.
All right, one final question here. Again, gonna dip back into the Stinky Dragon subreddit from Nightshadow 006. Starts off the question by asking, "Does Elga have a specific blood type she prefers?" I feel like we just covered that, but goes on to ask, "Does the necklace she wears have any special meaning to her?"
In my mind, I think Elga's mom gave her that necklace.
Oh,
but. Her mom left at a very young age.
Mm.
Left or like?
I don't know.
Oh. Ooh,
left and never came back.
And then a follow-up question here from Nightshadow. Are Chip's horns small and short because of genetics or were they made that way to help him be less noticeable back when he was an assassin?
I think that he shaved them down, not out of like a lack of pride, but yeah, I think it's to like...
They kept getting caught on like barbed wire and hanging like wind chimes.
You got to think about like wind shear and like, you know, making sure it's aerodynamic and such. But he's also like Chip is a very well manicured gentleman. He has like a nice hair and like he takes good care of his mustache. So he trimmed it down, but he's a proud tiefling.
Well, that's good to know. All right. I think on that note, we should probably go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for listening to this Between the Tales. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back next time with another new episode kicking off the new arc in the Grotesque story.
Woo-hoo! Yay. And as a reminder, we have a YouTube channel and would love for you to hang with us on there, watch the shows, check out some of the puppet videos, you know, see what's happening on the community tab, leave a nice comment on whatever you want. That'd be great.
Like and subscribe.
We'll probably be commenting and like in the comment section, interacting there as well. So if you want to say hi, we'll probably say hi back.
YouTube.com/@StinkyDragonPod.
This episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon was produced by Ben Ernst, written, edited, and composed by Micah Reisinger, with additional editing work by David Sonier. Tune in next time for another thrilling episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon.